Nope. Too hot. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-753-7842. You can leave us a voicemail there. You can give us a website. I'm just kidding. I even think I've done this joke before. But it's just freaking hot. And my interfaces are collapsing in on me and everything's breaking. Actually, that's not true. We are well past the era of things. Do you remember, say, the late 2014, early 2015 era of the show?
Oh, yes.
I basically had to take a sledgehammer to the studio every week to make it go. Those days are long gone, but when it gets hot and I get covered in a certain oily sheen, shall we say, touchscreens start not responding to me properly.
You do look like you're about to walk out to some entry music into the ring.
Yeah, I kind of do, don't I? This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. It's Friday. We are pre-recording this because I'm currently living in a shotgun shack. I am on a beach somewhere, I think, is what I'm doing when you hear this. Joining me this week is Becky.
Hi, Sam.
Hi.
I am perhaps not quite as glisteny, but it is quite warm. It is summertime.
Yeah, that is. And obviously, Dave, how are you?
Knick knack corner bloody flu.
You're gonna what?
That's actually an old George Carlin joke.
Yes, okay.
You know, in your own words. Does anyone ever use their own words? If ever anyone tells you to say something in your own words, I want you to respond, knick knack corner bloody flu.
Fair.
I always liked that joke.
It was pretty good. Let's keep things in high spirits. So, how are the Sounders?
You just had to do it. I feel this twisting of a knife somewhere. It's just, yeah, Sounders are really bad this year.
They've given all of their magic to, you know, like the Mariners or something.
Yeah, can Seattle have like all good teams for once? Like, because, you know, when you and I talk soccer, that means somehow you and I talk baseball. I don't know how
right.
that always happens.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think
sorry, it was
case.
My fault this time.
Yeah.
Well, and you're included in that too. You know, let's not undercut Becky's baseball qualifications. She knows her game.
Yeah, that she does.
So, yeah, it's like the Astros, reigning champ Astros, is that still, or was that?
It was last year.
That was last year. Okay, yeah. So Astros, reigning champs, Mariners are actually giving them a run for the money to take the division from them.
Yeah, and the Cubs are also doing well this year. So if it ends up being...
Oh, a Cubs-Mariners World Series?
My brain will just melt.
What will Sam do?
Yeah, I don't know what... I know how that would play out in my head. That's... The place I've lived at for a decade or my entire childhood with my grandparents?
Sometimes even non-religious people are indoctrinated into strong beliefs that we have a really hard time overcoming.
Indoctrinated my entire...
Left foot?
Don't even. Oh, man. Sounders are in the toilet.
Yes, although we have reinforcements coming. We have our World Cup players coming back. By the way, fun
Sounds
fact.
Oddly militaristic.
The reinforcements? Yeah. Actually, fun fact, the Sounders were the last MLS team to have a player playing in the World Cup this year, which is kind of cool.
Oh. Because
Sweden went further than any other team that had MLS players in our... very own Gustav Svensson was playing with them.
I'm going to lose so many of my friends with this one statement, but I heard England's out of it.
England is in the third place game, so they can't win the championship, but they did make it to the semifinals.
But they can't win the World Cup.
They cannot win the World Cup. So they lost to Croatia, and someone put out this meme about things that didn't exist the last time that England made it to the semifinals. Facebook, the iPhone, Croatia.
Yeah, fair.
Croatia did not exist back then.
Fair. Well, since when you're on, we've been asked to provide a more geek heavy conversation.
Oh yeah, we have had some feedback of hey, when Sam and Dave are here, less sports, more geek.
Yeah. And so we've done the sport.
Here once a month. Come on. It's once a month you get sports. I know.
But I have been obsessed with video game randomizers this week.
Okay. I don't know what this is.
So these are programs that people have written. The one I'm playing with right now is for Super Mario Brothers 1.
Okay.
And you feed it a ROM that you have legally obtained from your own cartridge. And in the case of Super Mario Brothers, it will computer generate an entire new game for you with completely new levels,
huh.
based off of protocols. Apparently, it came from the speedrunning community because everybody got tired of playing the same levels where everybody knows where everything is at every one time.
Right.
And it was a very specific kind of test where they wanted, like, other kinds of tests in the speedrunning community. So they've done it for the Mario games. And I've played the I'm playing the Super Mario one right now, and I love it because, like, I realize for the last maybe 20 years of my life, I'm not really playing the game anymore.
You're just, like, going through the motions.
I'm just running the Super Mario Brothers 1 algorithm that my brain has developed over the last 40 years. I'm just sort of going, I'm just pressing the buttons when the time to press the buttons comes up. And the challenge is not whether or not I understand the levels, not whether or not I can make the jump, but whether or not my brain can translate to whatever controller I happen to be using, since it's not a standard Nintendo controller, since I'm usually playing it on my Raspberry Pi.
Right.
Or in the case of Mario, which is one of my favorite versions of Super Mario Brothers, which is a Portal Super Mario Brothers mashup.
Ooh. That sounds
fun. And so it's Super Mario 1 with a portal gun, and you have to do all of the Mario controls, like jumping, running, all that stuff, with just your left hand on the keyboard.
Huh.
Using WASD, shifts, and like alt.
That alone sounds terrifying.
It is. it took some getting used to, but once you've got it, you have it, and it works pretty well. But then you mouse and you use the mouse for the portal gun, and it works out pretty well.
Interesting.
But yeah, so that's been the challenge.
So do these randomly generated levels ever get, like, accidental, like, unsolvable puzzles, or, you know?
Well, I don't know about the unsolvable puzzles, but one of the things that I was fond of seeing and was just kind of laughing at was sometimes you'll have bricks that completely enclose Goombas. So they can't run out and get you. They can't waddle over sideways, and
they're just there for purely aesthetic reasons.
Yeah, yeah. apparently, inescapable prisons is an aesthetic choice this program makes. I'm not terrified of AI or anything. But then there's Zelda ones where the maps remain the same, but all the entrances are
to different places. I feel like the original game had that. Like, if you beat the game, you get to play the
game.
No,
you had the second quest where things were changed up.
Right.
Now it's completely randomized. And then they've started doing other stuff, like all the items do different things.
Ooh.
I saw this on a Let's Play on YouTube where it was Link, except instead of a sword, he would hit people with the spell book. And I thought that was pretty good. And, yeah. And so I've been reading up and playing with, video game randomizers this week.
Interesting.
That's what I've been doing.
That's the first I'm hearing of that.
Yeah.
I think my current geekery is still, I feel like the last time I was here, we talked about this, but the Expanse novels. Mm-hmm. I am now on book 6, and they get better every time.
I'm still waiting for Casey to bring my copy of book 1 to me, or I go up there so that I can read it, but...
And I don't think this is giving anything away to you specifically, but, like, the first season of the TV show is much more well-fleshed out in the world than the first book. Because they're drawing on stuff from much later books to build that world to make it feel as incredibly real. Like, that series is amazing for just how plausible it feels. Mm-hmm. But the first book, it's a lot thinner in that sort of detail.
Because they're still developing it.
Yeah, they're still developing it.
Early days.
So, I did mention in the second season, there's this subplot about, like, the guy who...
Spoilers!
Spoiler, sorry.
The guy... Becky, do you need to plug your ears?
It's okay. I'll just, take off my headphones.
Okay.
The guy... I don't think that would work. the guy who invented the Epstein drive.
Yeah.
And it was this, like, really great sort of, like, piecemeal story that they dropped throughout an episode, which is kind of cool. In the books, that's a paragraph. That's his whole story is a paragraph. I found out there's a short story online that you can read.
It was made in the run up to that episode.
Right.
I am now caught up on The Expanse.
Oh.
Wow, 3 seasons is a long time for to set up a TV show.
That's what you said at the end of the last or the first season, I see.
Yeah.
You're like,
well,
oh.
No. In the first, like, the first season was all character building.
Right.
And then the second season was just, this is why you should like the characters. And the third season is, this is what the plot of the story is. You have taken three seasons to develop what a lot of TV shows would have done in the first episode. And I love it.
Well, it's not that surprising given how much you have really loved and I think spoken on this show about long form sci-fi storytelling.
Yeah.
From Babylon 5 to Battlestar Galactica and now to The Expanse.
Yeah.
It seems to be very much in line with things that are really engrossing.
Yeah, and I wasn't feeling bad about kind of leaving you behind on the randomization stuff, because we're going to be in your wheelhouse in a moment when we get to the actual show part of the show.
Oh, we've just taken two episodes to get to the plot of these episodes.
Yeah, I've just taken 13 minutes to start the show. But yeah, so Becky is still in the second season, and she isn't even through the first major plot arc of the second season.
Okay.
So, she's well behind, and I just keep, you know, okay, so I binged it, because
right.
That's how I do things. And holy cats, yeah, I don't want to give away any spoilers for the third season, because other people watch media like I do.
Right.
But it really felt like, okay, I guess the story begins now?
No, but I do remember a conversation we had at one point where you're like, in the whole first season, oh, there's this MacGuffin that they're going after this entire time. And then, oh, at the end, oh, the MacGuffin, that would be the plot.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
That's what that is.
Because once they started introducing the MacGuffin, I'm like, oh, because it started to feel like in the towards the end of the first season, I'm like, okay, this is when it gets all weird and goes completely off the rails and totally loses me.
Right.
And it started going in that little direction, and I'm like, all right, this is where it's going to suck. This is, all right, it's going to start sucking. Oh, wow. Oh, I love this. This is great.
Yeah. It's what I'm saying. I have not seen any of the third season. I've been waiting for it to release on Amazon because I don't, my TV cable situation is kind of awkward right now. So, but I know eventually, like, particularly since Amazon bought it and now will release whole seasons themselves,
mm-hmm.
I know I'll get it. So,
yeah.
I can wait. I got the books.
Oh, man. So I guess we should talk about stuff relating to atheism at some point.
I suppose.
Not that sci-fi. Sci-fi has never had any...
No interface with religion or belief or the possibilities of alien life. That, you know, that God didn't create the world in 6 days.
So I was going to give you, Becky, I was going to give you a choice of what story to do first, but it's either children being harmed.
I feel very passionate about children, and I really want to bring to light the fact that there's people wanting to harm children, and oftentimes in the name of religion. And so let's go with children being harmed. How about that one?
Okay. At least two immigrant women have been asked about their religious practices and proceedings designed to reunite them with their own children. Massachusetts Congresswoman Kathleen Clark tweeted that two mothers who had fled domestic violence were asked whether they were Christian and attended church. Clark also tweeted a screenshot from the agency contracted by the Office of Refugee Resettlement, where Christian faith was listed as a prerequisite for fostering or adopting children. In the case of the two mothers in question, their children's care had been left to the Baptist Children's and Family Services. Representative Clark presented an amendment to the House Appropriations Committee this week that would prohibit ORR or its contractors from asking questions related to religion during the reunification process, as well as for anyone seeking to be a sponsor, adoptive parent, or foster parent to an unaccompanied minor.
And that's pretty typical when the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is Department of Health and Human Services, they work with people that have to do fostering and adoption and things like that, because when you have kids that by default are unaccompanied minors because we've taken away their parents, then...
Well, I think we should say that we've had to have systems for unaccompanied minors because it has happened, and somewhat frequently in the past, where kids would show up without parents.
Yes.
In addition to the unaccompanied minors, we are now manufacturing as a terror technique for people arriving and seeking asylum.
Precisely. And in this case, it was women that were fleeing from domestic violence, which in the past has been something that you've been able to present as a right to asylum. And in this case, as just part of their questioning, it was, what is your religion? And it seemed to be completely irrelevant to whether or not you are fit to have your kids reunited with you. These kids were not taken away from their parents because their parents were committing, you know, neglect or crimes against them or anything like that. No, they were detained because they were immigrants. And to then say, we're going to see if we can put you back together as a family, but first we have to test your religion. It's a very eerie kind of thing. In the case of Baptist Children and Family Services, what would have happened if the respondents had said, we are Muslim, or we don't have a religion, or we're the wrong kind of Christian? It's very chilling. Now, of course, Baptist Children's Family Services said, we just go with whatever the Office of Refugee Resettlement asks us. And what's weird about that is that's a federal agency. And if they're giving these private contractors a checklist to ask these parents and it includes a religious litmus test, who is directing that at the federal level? Who is directing that with an Office of Refugee Resettlement?
Oh, if only we could think of like an entire administration full of people who are trying to shove religion into every aspect of government that they possibly can.
I don't know if this is those folks or not. Well, I mean, okay. I don't think that's the Trump administration's goal, but the Trump administration gets a lot of heft from people who try to do precisely that.
Right. Like, I don't think it's an explicit stated thing. Like, if it were Pence's government, then yes, that would be explicit.
Oh, yeah. That would be a completely different.
Trump's government is not so explicit, but Trump's people are.
Yeah.
Trump's people are Pence or Betsy DeVos or,
exactly.
You know, these types of people that is like they are going to use their power to exert religious influence over whatever aspect that they can. And I feel like, I mean, this isn't a defense of them or anything like that, but I don't think they're trying to be malicious. They literally think it's like, oh, what do you need to know to make sure that someone's being a good parent? Well, let's check if they're Christian, because that's just how they think.
Right.
They, you know, that it would never occur to them that that might not be an acceptable thing to require.
I'm going to tie another story into this. The House Appropriations Committee approved a bill this week that includes an amendment that would permit adoption and foster agencies that receive federal funding to reject adoptive families they object to because of a conflict with the agency's sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions. Any state government office that discriminates or takes adverse action against providers would be subject to HHS withholding up to 15% of federal funds designated for child welfare. The bill would allow child welfare groups to bar applicants from the LGBTQ community or those who don't adhere to the religion of the agency. According to the HHS, there were more than 400,000 children in foster care in 2016, with children waiting an average of almost 2 years for placement. There's two major themes in this news story, one that kind of relates to the previous one and one that definitely does. The first one is notice the adoption of the vocabulary of the people they... Notice the bigot adopting the vocabulary of the people who
are targeted.
Are the target. Yeah.
They are trying to adopt the language of tolerance.
Yeah.
To excuse their intolerance.
Yeah, exactly.
They're saying if you bar Catholic Charities or Bethany Christian Services from engaging in the foster system because we only want to have children placed with two-parent households where they're married and they're Christian, you must be discriminating against us. It's not discrimination against an agency.
Yeah, this is tolerance. This is the kind of tolerance that says we should be tolerant of a church who won't give food to children if they won't pray.
Right.
And this is something that... And this is people are saying, oh, churches are never like that. This is not something religious groups do. No, I've seen it firsthand, and you don't have to look around to find enough data points for a trend or for even a study. They're out there.
And this is a major push, and it's being helped to the court system, because the courts are more and more, and particularly as the Supreme Court gets more and more conservative, you're going to see this more often.
Yeah.
Adopting this attitude that you know, if corporations are people, corporations therefore have religious rights.
Right.
And, you know, it goes like, I think the key case in this is the Trinity Lutheran versus State of Missouri case that we've talked about ad nauseum on the show.
Yeah,
like, this is the playground that's funded with federal funds, right?
Funded with federal funds, and the courts decided that it is to deny the church the right to this playground based on the fact that it's a church, is to deny the church's constitutional religious beliefs, constitutionally protected religious beliefs. But that's a vast change from anything the courts have decided up to this point, where organizations don't have religious beliefs. People have religious beliefs. A group of people all have religious beliefs, but them as a group, that group itself does not, until now. And so now what they're saying in this is that the adoption agencies themselves, not the people who run it, but the actual agency, has a religious belief, and that it is protected under the Constitution over the religious beliefs of the people who want to adopt children from it, or the lifestyle.
The other point is, so there's a lot going on. We are now using family separation. Well, we were using family separation as a terror tactic, and we are now, if you were to ask me from how it looks from here, using government inadequacy as a continuing terror tactic as we try to put families that we have split apart back together. You've got, 12 Russian GRU folks indicted today by the Justice Department. You've got potentially an entire branch of the U.S. federal government falling around down its ears. You've got United States-sponsored terrorism at our southern border. You've got a lot of stuff. You have a lot of things going on. You have political turmoil on a scale that I have been told hasn't been seen since Watergate or earlier, or perhaps even the Great Depression. I am being told because, well, I wasn't there for that, and this is all unprecedented to me. This is stuff I have not personally experienced.
How old are you again?
old enough. Not old enough for Watergate.
old enough to sign a billion-year contract? Sorry. Scientology. I always have to go there.
Well, yeah. there's a population of religious people who love times like these, who love times when the national focus is pointed elsewhere, because then they can push through bills like these. They can push through bills like these, and they can do things like require religious services, and they do it under the cover tonight, not where the processes of democracy are able to more completely dissect these things and figure out just what is going on, so that 10 years from now, when the absolutely destructive things that have occurred because of this are starting to come to light, and you're starting to see action committees, and you're starting to see lawsuits, the federal government can go back up and say, well, we've been doing it this way for 10 years, and you didn't complain then. This is how your government is subverted. This is how liberties, specifically religious liberties, are taken away. This is why it's important to discuss religious liberties in a time when perhaps our attention should be focused elsewhere as well, maybe even more appropriately focused elsewhere. But while we are thinking about something else, it is still important to talk about religious freedoms and liberties as they are intended, rather than as how the people in power would like them to be discussed. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We go to the break, when we come back, Islamorama?
I've heard that you've been wondering about the squid ink. Is it real or not?
Well, now you have your answer.
The squid ink is fake. Anyway, there is no proof that the squid ink is even close to real.
The nail polish has no real squid ink. It's just regular nail polish.
The squid ink bag is just spray painted black.
Sorry to break it to you, but none of it is real.
Warning. Don't buy anything from Sephi or any others that sell squid ink. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I went into the break with the phrase Islamorama. I was wondering if you wanted to make sort of a musical-related comment.
I was going to say that was the best 80s pop group. their cover of Simon and Garfunkel was fantastic.
Was Islam Yusuf or Yusuf Islam involved in that?
Can I just geek out a little bit about that theme? Because you've never actually played it when I've been on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. I love video game music. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have this passion for it. I actually have tickets for the third time to see Distant Worlds at the Seattle Symphony, which would be Final Fantasy's orchestral scores and Nobuo Uematsu, the composer of all the music from Final Fantasy 1 to Final Fantasy 9, will be there.
Oh, wow.
And that theme strikes me as very similar to a lot of Uematsu's work, particularly like his orchestral adaptations of the stuff from Final Fantasy 6 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, every time I hear it, it's just like, it's suddenly I'm picturing like little sprites battling on a screen and stuff like that. And I don't think that was what the intention is, but that's what I hear. And I think it's fantastic.
I like it. It sounds, I mean, it's almost it has too much gravitas for this show, almost.
We were just talking about the destruction of our democracy and country as we know it. I think that's pretty grave.
I feel like playing that huge, booming, like important music kind of undermines it a little bit. But you know my approach to American media.
yes, we do.
I really think that the destruction of American democracy really needs to be backed by a chorus of kazoos. All right.
Because who's doing Carmina Burana at least?
No. Oh.
Doing the Ask an Atheist theme.
Yeah, doing the Ask an Atheist theme. Okay. Yeah, okay. So, actually, a little bit of a Camp Quest story. So we were at a campfire, and Chuck, the guy who runs Camp Quest Northwest, said he does he plays the trumpet to wake people up every morning, mm-hmm. like they do, I guess, in the military. I wouldn't know. He plays the same stuff every time, except once he played the Ask an Atheist theme right at my cabin to wake me up.
Whoa!
And he did it years ago. And you know why I didn't know about it?
You weren't there?
I didn't wake up.
Slept
right through it. A candidate for sheriff in Spokane County is campaigning on solving what he believes to be the only real problem in Spokane County. Muslims. A man formerly known as Michael Scott McClay, who in May legally changed his name to dumpozzy.com, describes himself as a pro-God, pro-his word, pro-constitution, pro-family, pro-gun, pro-life, anti-sanity? Mr. .com vows that as sheriff, he would institute a community-oriented policing effort on the roof of a VFW building near the Islamic Center of Spokane, where volunteers would monitor all the comings and goings of all suspicious activities in order to address what he describes as the unrestrained Muslim members in Spokane County, as well as Islam in general.
So, one of the things that caught our attention, of course, besides the guy's name being dumpozzy.com, besides changing his name legally to a campaign website that who knows how long he'll be stuck with this name, even if, you know,
at least the website exists for now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately not true for basilmarceau.com.
but here's the thing, when you say that the only real problem, it says that all of these other problems that go on in Spokane County are not real, they're frivolous. He seems to have a lot of problems with the way the jail is run, hence, you know, why he's running for sheriff. I mean, it has nothing to do with his own being miffed at being arrested for protesting in a harassing manner, the funeral of a child. You know, I mean, that's not the real problem. No, really, when you're running for any kind of government office and your rhetoric is saying that all of these other things that are important aren't really real problems, but that Muslim people who, as far as I know, we still do have freedom of religion. And so just as I am free to not be a religious person, the Muslims in Spokane County can go to the Islamic Community Center, the Islamic Center of Spokane, without having to face the threat of deputized citizens patrolling rooftops from nearby buildings, intimidating and harassing you. I mean, this is really the level of just. We said Islamorama. When people talk about Islamophobia, I think that this is what we've got in mind. You have someone that says this is the only real problem. This is the only real disgusting thing.
Right. The fact that there is a Muslim. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? I can't even remember the name. It's not temple. It's not
mosque.
Mosque. Thank you.
The a house of worship, a place of gathering.
Right. We have no evidence that there's anything other than the fact that there is a mosque here, and that bothers him. And it's like, yep, I buddy, Muslims exist. That's a thing. It happens.
Well, I mean, is he trying to like point at himself as America's real problem? We need to solve America's real problem. Me getting elected. Don't elect me. This is a little bit Brewster's Millions, isn't it? Yeah. Like, is that what he's doing? Yeah, of course not.
Well, and the thing is that when I first came across the write-up for this article, I saw the headline of gun-loving sheriff candidate wants to snoop on Muslims. And it never occurred to me for a moment that we'd be talking about a good space guy. Which
you're gonna have to explain good space guy because
we were new to Washington State, you know, within the last decade. Now we've been here a decade, but we had no familiarity with this good space guy. We thought it was someone who, you know, liked science,
so?
Space.
So I encourage all of you, because every district has these people, read through your pamphlet, your voter's pamphlet for the primaries, because there is a few people like people with names such as dumpozzy.com or Good Space Guy.
Who's Ozzy? Have we figured out who
Ozzy's the current sheriff?
Current sheriff.
Oh.
Yeah. He changed his name to the current sheriff because his website was Dump Ozzy because he won't. Yeah.
But he changed his name to his website name, which includes the name of the incumbent sheriff.
Yes.
I love this.
I want to just start calling him Ozzy for short.
Yeah, let's just call him Ozzy.
What? Your name's Ozzy.
Yeah. Like,
you made it.
I think that his given, if it's dumpozzy.com, then his abbreviated name would be Dump Calm. Like, how would he appear in roles when you're like, you know, calling role Mr. Calm, first name Dump?
Well, I wish I could say that .com being a last name was an unprecedented move, but I think Kim.com is actually being extradited to the U.S. this week.
Oh,
so
fun.
You know, okay, I don't know, it might be on the right side of something, but man, that guy's such a knob.
But there's always these crazies in primary elections. People just try. Good Space Guy is our local guy, and his platform is space. He wants space. He doesn't care what
conceptualization of space.
Space and marijuana, I believe, which, hey, he got marijuana.
Well, yeah.
He didn't even
so he's,
try,
he's
so.
Got 50%.
Right.
Yeah, he's swinging better than most politicians.
But my favorite part of his perennial candidacy is in the voter's pamphlet. It says in history or like your expertise in his experience section, it says Tacoma voters have rejected my plan 12 years in a row or 14 years in a row or 16, however many years it's been. He just changes that year and leaves in like, you've all rejected me this many times. That's my experience.
But his plan is like space, but it's like music from the hearts of space, not NASA. It's
right.
It's not.
This isn't science based.
Yeah, like you guys talk about good space guy. Well, his deal is that he likes space, and I'm like, well, I like space too. Maybe I'm for this guy, and then I read up. No, I'm not. No, and at this point, it's been so long, I can't even remember what precisely it was. But
yeah,
well, at least he's not targeting members of a particular religious faith.
That puts him above that, but not necessarily above Jesse the Traveler, which is another one of those. So definitely read your voter's pamphlet here in. Though usually it's a safe bet if when looking at a ballot, one of the candidates' names ends in .com. I don't care what party they are. Maybe not vote for that person.
Yeah,
yeah. There's some stability issues.
But my greater point is the fact that the current political substrate is at a place where when I saw a gun-loving sheriff candidate wants to snoop on Muslims, it never occurred to me that it'd be a crazy candidate. I thought this would be like a leading Republican
candidate.
That's
a good point. Yeah.
Because it is the leading Republican candidate in a great number of races.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, even if we may not be in favor of practicing, you know, the Muslim faith, we're atheists, We don't want their religious liberties infringed upon any more than ours.
It's to the point where the fact that he hates Muslims isn't the interesting part of his candidacy.
Right.
It's the fact that he's insane, in spite of the fact that he hates Muslims. That's the narrative that I'm providing to this, sort of accidentally, just because I like insane.
Yeah.
Hating
Muslims actually kind of makes him fit more in than anything
else. Makes him a more mainstream candidate.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, ouch.
Speaking of mainstream, a Turkish Muslim televangelist and more than 150 of his followers have been arrested on charges that include fraud, forming a crime ring, child sex abuse, money laundering, and espionage. Adnan Oktar, whose unconventional preaching methods include giving televised sermons surrounded by scantily clad young women that he calls kittens, was taken to a state hospital to be evaluated after being arrested in Istanbul. Oktar, who goes by Harun Yahya, holds conspiratorial views about England, Charles Darwin, and the BBC. He is calling his arrest a British deep state operation. Oktar and 235 other suspects have all had assets confiscated, which included weapons caches, tactical gear, and armored vehicles.
His dislike and criticism of England is kind of hilarious, because it does involve Charles Darwin as an Englishman in this yeah. very conspiratorial thing. This guy has published his anti-evolution creationist books and sent them worldwide.
I have a Harun Yahya section of my library.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. Because he's insane. Like, he is absolutely insane. I have a lot of his videos. I have a couple actual DVDs. There's a lot to unpack here. They're interminable. He literally holds up, like, this is an animal. This is another animal from a different time. Notice that there's no evolution between them. Therefore, evolution isn't true. He literally just spams you to death trying to make evolution not true. But he's interesting. He was interesting to me in that he would use a lot of standard Christian evangelical concepts and marketing techniques in an Islamic context. Like, not only is he a young earth creationist, he's also a strong eschatologist, which is something that isn't as common in Islam as it is in Christianity. And he had this video called Signs of the Last Day, which was all about what the end of the world would look like according to Islam, well, his particular flavor of Islam.
Right.
And so I'm like, this guy's nuts. And then so I find out more about this guy. So I go, I look him up on Wikipedia and YouTube, and it's a bunch of pictures with him surrounded by bikini women, and he calls them sex kittens or whatever. And this guy is nuts. And let me tell you, I knew this guy was going to end up in prison someday. This is precisely how I thought he would end up in prison.
Yeah, sometimes it's exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah. Now, there is another side to this, and this is why I said there's a lot to unpack here. These arrests are coming not too long after Erdogan had basically reinvented his job and re-cemented a lot of his power. This guy is getting called in, and he might be guilty of all of these things, and in fact, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was guilty of all of these things. But we know in Turkey right now, a lot of people in the military and a lot of civil servants are being fired because of even tertiary involvement or friendships or relationships with people who were involved in the coup. And that this could be just a way of hiding up, rounding up people. So it's like, it says that these 235 people had weapons caches, tactical gear, and armored vehicles. That could have been Oktar. That could have been some people involved with the military who would have had that stuff anyway. There may be more than meets the eye here, so I don't want to just point at the crazy guy who's a sex pervert and say, well, I'm glad he's in jail. That's true. Yes. But there's also this whole crazy rise of fundamentalist Islam in otherwise secular Turkey, and a rise of another demagogue that I have to pair that against, because that seems to be the theme of my life.
It was sort of confusing to me when I was reading about some of his past crimes or reasons that his broadcasts were actually banned from state television. One of the reasons his broadcasts were booted was because it violated the right to equality on behalf of women.
Right.
And so Turkey is a very kind of confusing place to me when we see that it is a secular place in name. It does have statutes and stipulations for gender equality. But at the same time, you have the very, strong arm of the government of Erdogan. And you're right. It is alarming when we say, hey, are we turning a blind eye when to these kinds of crimes when things are fine, but only enforcing them when it helps, helps get rid of people that would ordinarily or otherwise be against a very, very strong approaching dictatorial leader.
Right.
I personally have two thoughts on this story.
Okay.
Number one, dude, do not take a word as awesome as kittens and make it creepy. Okay, not cool, bro.
Fair.
All right. Two, when I look at the list of these crimes, okay, fraud, forming a crime ring, child sex abuse, money laundering, and espionage. Are any of those something that it has not been established that the Catholic Church has done?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, every single one of those things is something that the Catholic Church has done on the regular. It's just, I don't know what the comparison is. I don't know. It could be a correlation without causation or something like that. I just know, when I read this and I saw that list of things, like, huh.
Without, let's say, drawing a specific religion into it, what we are seeing is what fights between religious groups look like in a power dynamic, is that you've got one religious power dynamic in Turkey that's centered around Erdogan, where they made that creepy biopic of him trying to set him up as a religious leader, you know, where it's becoming a more increasingly religious country, not exactly in the same way that, say, Iran became religious, but right, still a less secular nation.
And I feel like with Erdogan in specific, you're seeing this weird blending of the religious movement and the dictatorship movement. Like, we've talked before many times on this show about one of the favorite arguments that religious people like to throw at atheists is like, oh, well, look at the Soviet Union. They were atheists and they were awful.
Right.
But the problem with the Soviet Union was not an overwhelming amount of reason.
Yeah.
They just replaced church with the party.
And that causes a bit of a problem for me, in that I don't think of the 20th century communisms as... I realize that they had state atheism.
Right.
But it's not anything I would call an atheism. I would say it even violates my own interpretation of the two-word definition.
Right.
In that they've just replaced a cosmic unknowable power with a totalitarian, actually fairly well-knowable one.
Right.
There
was no lack of dogma in the Soviet
right.
structure.
And one could say that, and this is something I have often said, is that the dialectic was faith in the absence of evidence, which is what a religious dogma is. So
now with Erdogan, you see him sort of taking part from this Soviet style power grab, but also using this sort of Islamic fundamentalist slant to it to like mm-hmm. really, you know, start pulling from both sides.
Yeah. Well, suffice it to say, a pretty terrible guy is in prison, but he might have been put in prison not because he's a terrible guy, but because it was convenient for a person in power. And it's hard to cheer that. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Go to the break, we come back. What is it, wombats? Raccoons?
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is your tape too weak? Are your nails not nice enough? Then check out our array of Squid Ink products. We have squid tape, squid polish, squid string, and more. This stuff has loads of uses. Stick it on your mom. Just do it. She's better now. Squid Ink has many amazing properties. Drink it for an acid trip.
Yeah!
Use the patented squid tape, trademark, to tape your marriage together. Squid Ink can reinforce your life. Buy a bottle today and get two rolls free. That's right, free. Buy now for only $39.99.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. House Speaker Paul Ryan revealed that his personal SUV had been rendered inoperable due to a family of woodchucks taking up residence in the underbody and eating through it. Ryan was speaking at a private DC event when he explained that he hasn't personally driven in 3 years due to having a chauffeur and a security detail. Ryan had kept his Chevy Suburban parked at his mother's Wisconsin property, but will be getting a Ford F-150 upon his retirement from Congress.
Sam, you might have to sell off your truck.
No, much worse people than Paul Ryan have driven the F-150. Myself among them.
So this doesn't really have anything to do, I guess, with religion, except that nature finds a way.
Well, and there is a partisan aspect to this.
Oh, is there?
There is. He's switching from Chevy to Ford? That is like, he is going to get some blowback. He is going to lose some votes for that.
Well, that might be the point. He doesn't care anymore. I mean, if he really wanted to make that clear, he'd get like a Ridgeline or something. But
He'd get a non-American vehicle if he really wanted to drop
that would
votes.
Be the Honda Ridgeline.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Although I think a lot of that is made in the States anyway, so who knows?
Actually, you know, strangely enough, when I was in high school, I had this friend who had this super conservative dad, and he was going to buy her a car, which I was so jealous of because my parents would not buy me a car. I had to buy my own. But he was going to buy her a car, but on the condition it had to be an American car. She could not buy a foreign car. And I actually convinced him to buy her a Mazda on the fact that, well, the corporate headquarters are in the U.S. All the manufacturing is done overseas for American cars, but Japanese cars are largely built in the United States because it's cheaper for Japan to build it here than it is to build there.
Yeah, and then ship it. Yeah.
And then ship it because real estate is a little pricey in Japan.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are you about supporting the blue collar workers who are working in a factory or the CEOs who are riding around on yachts? Because if you're buying an American car, it's the American workers are not being helped. It's just right. CEOs. But if you buy a Japanese car, then the manufacturers are done here and you're helping American jobs. And he actually bought it. And he bought her a Mazda.
What kind of Mazda?
Mazda 3.
What year?
So this was 1997. So I want to say it was probably like a 91, 92.
But I'm not certain he did her any favors then.
Yeah. She was a hippie girl. She's probably still driving that car.
Oh, probably. Actually, yeah, I forget because the Mazda 3 I drive now.
Right.
The Mazda Speed 3.
I test drove a 3, and my problem was not with the car. My problem was with the dealer and particularly the salesman who was awful. And so I got to the point where it's like, dude, if you're not going to help me, I'm not going to buy a car from you. He's like, all right, and handed me his card and walked away. I was like, okay, I'm going to go elsewhere. And
this does beg a question.
Yes.
First cars. Becky?
Ford Probe.
Nice.
Really?
Shortly thereafter scrapped for a Camry.
The
generic, you know, family sedan of the 90s.
Yeah.
Generic family sedan of many decades now.
Yeah.
Yes. I really enjoyed the Camry.
You did?
I really did.
What year was the Camry?
It must have been 96, 97, 98.
Actually,
like
that was not a bad for what it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
My first car was a 1986 Honda Prelude.
Wow.
It had, keep in mind, I bought this in 97, so it was only 11 years old, had 235,000 miles on it. So it lived a hard life already, and it lasted a year before it completely died on me. But I loved that car.
Nice.
And I'm actually, like, I've driven all Japanese cars all my life. In fact, all Hondas except for one Toyota, and then there was my BMW. But that there's a different story with that car. So
yeah, well, it's the BMW story. I think anybody who's owned a BMW is familiar with it.
Carbecue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not that one. But well, actually, depending on that one, it's either that or money shifting.
But no, yeah, and I ended up buying a Civic this time. So
yeah, it's a nice looking Civic.
Too. Thank you. I like my car.
Yeah.
Sam, your first vehicle?
I was gonna make you guess, but I think you guys know, right?
I don't know, but
Becky, do you know?
I think I might.
Okay. What do you think my first car was?
I'm going to say something like really absurd, like an old DeSoto. like you had a 42 DeSoto that your dad, you worked on or something like that. No, your dad's a musician. Maybe not.
Yeah. No.
No. Okay.
I'm better with cars than he is. It's kind of stupid. And I'm terrible with cars.
It was like a Nova or a Pinto or something ridiculous.
It was a 78 Volvo station wagon.
Oh, my God. I actually thought about saying Volvo station wagon.
Yeah, it was tritone. It was brick red, Bondo, and primer. So it was three colors.
Nice.
It had a base cannon in the back. It wasn't wiring in anything. It just had one in the back, and I never took it out. It had been broken into sometime in its past, and they had replaced it with a sheet of plexi that they tarred into place. They used roofing tar to cement it in place.
Just to keep the woodchucks out, naturally.
To keep the woodchucks out, yeah, indeed. It worked. There were no... Well, actually, towards the end, it may have been. I bought it for $400.
Nice.
And I beat the crap out of it, and I used it to get to college for the 3 weeks I was in college. And in the winter, I couldn't find a snow scraper, so I ended up using a Coke bottle to de-ice it. So it was all scratched up. It was pretty great. Blew all of its gaskets, bought it for $400, sold it for $20. Wow. Never took the base cannon out.
My favorite car story is my CRX. Did you know me when I have the CRX, or was that after?
No, but I love the CRX.
Okay, so I ended up, this is actually directly tied to my divorce.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
My wife and I split up, and I just could not afford, I was driving a 1992 Toyota Paseo that I was upside down on, because I was actually had carried the loan of my Prelude over into the Paseo loan, so I was just burying bad money under worse money, and I was just stuck. And so that ended up getting repoed. And so I had no car, no money, nothing. But I had a tax return. And I had like $800 to spend. And we found this 1988 Honda CRX 5-speed that I liked. No options whatsoever. Didn't even have power steering.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy sold it to us for $700.
Nice.
And the engine wasn't running right. And I think that's why he only sold it for $700. Because, like, the hood was tinted and the engine was acting weird, but I had a buddy who was a mechanic, and we dug around and found out that because the hood was tinted, water had gotten in the distributor cap.
Oh.
We dried it out, and the engine was fine.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
Right. So I drove it for 4 years until that engine blew.
Okay.
Spent another $700 replacing that engine, drove it for another 4 years, and then sold it for $1,800.
Okay. My second car was actually a 88 Honda Civic Si hatchback.
Ooh.
Which wasn't the CRX, because it had the really anemic engine, but had all the storage and was basically, I mean, it had basically the same footprint as the CRX. Then my friend had the same year, same paint job. His was just a CRX and manual.
Right.
Where mine was an automatic. And I think the CRX was just among my favorite cars because it could tow a lot. It could stow a lot. Like, I carry a whole pile of computer equipment in the SI and the CRX. I carry a whole bunch of stuff. Great on gas mileage.
41 miles.
Yeah. I didn't do quite as good. I got in the low 30s. But, no power steering. So you just didn't really... Yeah.
And you didn't really need it?
No. It's not that the power steering was out. Power steering was not a thing that happened. And so, you know, you needed to work out a little bit more than modern cars, so you ended up, you know, getting a tiny, tiny workout. But
parallel parking was always fun.
Parallel parking was a pain, and I blame that car for the reason why I'm so crap at parallel parking to this day. When we get a point where there's a parallel, you know what? This may be a masculinity thing, but I am totally stepping away from it. When we have to parallel park, I get out. Becky does the parking.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a good job.
She does a great job, and I feel no shame.
I have to know parallel parking. I drove for how many years, and now I'm a driving manager. Like, if I could parallel park, I'd be fired.
But even when I had when I was doing deliveries, I was in Arizona. You know, I mean, even when I was doing parallel parking, I had 300 miles to do it in. So it was no problem. So Paul Ryan's a jerk, I guess.
Atheism.
Yeah, atheism. Paul Ryan's a jerk.
The woodchucks were atheists. Prove me wrong.
You can't prove they weren't atheists.
I don't know. I like to not think about Paul Ryan.
Did you guys grow up calling them woodchucks or groundhogs? Because I called them groundhogs where I lived.
I think I was in my...
Those are the same animal?
No, okay. So Sam's having this epiphany now. I was going to say, I think I was in my 20s before I knew there was no difference.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, groundhogs.
Yep.
We didn't have woodchucks. I thought woodchucks were a thing of your people.
No, we always called them groundhogs. We just knew them by the woodchuck tongue twister.
No, it sounds funny, but I like not thinking about Paul Ryan. Because he literally just sort of...
disappeared.
It's like you're playing chess, and a rook just goes, you know what, I'm out, and hoverboards off the game board and goes to a bar. And that's what Paul Ryan has done.
To spend
and
more time with his family.
That weird guy who's trying to take power away from people who really likes Rage Against the Machine.
That's one of my favorite little moments in his career.
Yeah.
To see Tom Morello say, sir, you are the machine against which we are raging.
Did Paul Ryan express that his favorite musician was Rage Against the musical artist act?
He was talking about what was it, P90X, that workout routine that was really big about a decade ago, and he said he loved doing P90X while listening to Rage Against the Machine, and Tom Morello was having none of that.
I can't imagine. Yeah. So that strange Wisconsin gnome has removed himself from American
politics.
Oh
my goodness, the woodchucks were raging against his machine.
And I guess that's all the time we've got. Our website is atheist.radio. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. We're on Facebook. We shouldn't do shows on... Wait, two things. We shouldn't do shows on Friday. And we shouldn't do them when we haven't talked in a while. Because then
what we end up doing.
Sort of turns into what we do.
Social hour with Sam and Dave.
And sorry, Becky, but I hope you got good stuff in.
Don't harm the children.